If you would consider it a matter of national security to figure out a way of inflicting the maximum amount of pain without killing a person you believe has information important to you, you might improvise something you saw in the movies, or you could ask an expert. Doctors know the limitations of the human body and the places where pain can feel unlimited. But why would a doctor want to get involved in something like that, whatever the issue of national security? Well, according to a report released this week, medical professionals have been involved in the design, procedures, and even at certain points participated in the torture and mistreatment of terrorism suspects. The study was conducted by an independent task force of military, health, and legal experts who spent 2 years reviewing public records on the U.S. military's treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, as well as those at prisons on American bases in Iraq and Afghanistan. The findings have been rejected by the CIA and Pentagon. We'll have more to say on that in just a moment. But one member of the task force was Dr. Stephen Zanakis, who joins us now. Dr. Zanakis is a retired brigadier general and Army Medical Corps officer. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Can you describe the ground rules, historically speaking, for the use of medical personnel in designing interrogation procedures of any kind?
Well, this was very unusual that they were involved. Medical personnel, and that is clinicians, have not historically been involved in these kinds of operations, intelligence gathering or interrogations. There have been small groups that specifically were assigned to the intelligence agencies and to the background investigation groups, but they were a very special group, and that's all they did. By and large, it's always been a practice that clinicians, healthcare providers, doctors who see patients and other practitioners would not get involved in such activities.
Now, what surprised you about this report, that there seems to have been flagrant ignoring of those guidelines or those understandings?
That was not a surprise. I mean, we heard that in 2003. The Secretary of Defense did say at that time that we were going to take the gloves off and that we were not necessarily going to apply the Geneva Conventions to these men who had been apprehended in Afghanistan and Iraq. That broke with tradition, and that was not the way that military that I knew that I had served in and my father had served in operated. We really did abide by the rules. Great nations do that. I mean, there are theories of just war that have prevailed for almost hundreds of years. So we knew that the rules had broken. What was good about the study is it brought in outside senior experts, professionals, who'd come from other areas who were not involved at the beginning, and they reviewed hundreds of documents, maybe thousands, of openly public documents, and had concluded themselves that this violated the fundamental medical ethics that we all had subscribed to when we put the white coat on and became doctors.
Based on this report, are there safeguards in place to prevent this from happening in the future? The Pentagon's reaction seems to suggest that they're more concerned that the report is just incorrect in many ways, not that its recommendations will be followed.
No, I don't think. Then that's why the report is important. I mean, the legacy is still here. The boundary has been crossed. The doctors are not staying within their area of expertise. And so we're seeing that, in fact, they're still being pulled into activities that are not really appropriate for them as practitioners. I think this is really important, and it sets the stage for some corrective action. And I think that that's really what we need to do to go forward.
Can I ask you some very specific questions? I mean, are doctors in their with medical sensors on, being asked by interrogators, can he handle this? Can he handle this? Can he handle this? Or is it more a matter of, what if I applied pressure here? Is that going to be fatal? I mean, what level of collaboration are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about very close collaboration. There, in the report, I think page 35, 36, 37, there's a very good account of the interrogation of Muhammad al-Qahtani. And when you go through that step by step, you know that the interrogators were putting extreme pressure on al-Qahtani to the point that he seemed to be going into shock. and he was pulled out. The doctors were then taking care of him, reviving him some, and then he returned to the questioning. So they were there to help and to keep the person, to make sure that he did not die or expire. But the interrogators were working on their own and continuing to stress the individual. There are some public videotapes of another young man. He was picked up when he was 15, Omar Khadr, who now is in Canada. And he talks about having been put through a sleep deprivation program. So the doctors were involved. The DOD changed their title from combatants. They're saying they're, at one point they said, you know, they're not here as physicians in a doctor-patient relationship. They're advising our interrogators as combatants. Well, that's never been the rule. Then they said they're here as safety officers, which means that they're putting under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, the subject, and if something looks like it's going wrong, then they pull them out, and then the doctors try and revive them.
Do you view, Dr. Stephen Sinakis, that forced feeding is a procedure that is appropriate if supervised by medical personnel or not?
Not the way it's being done here. It's being done in a way that really where restraint chairs are used, and it is very the detainees experience it as harsh, and it's being done as a way of breaking a hunger strike. That's does not follow any of the guidelines worldwide. They're stated best by the World Medical Association. So I think it's also abusive.
Dr. Stephen Sinakis, thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
Dr. Stephen Sinakis is a retired Brigadier General and Army Medical Corps officer, a reviewer of the report entitled Ethics Abandoned, Medical Professionalism and Detainee Abuse in the War on Terror. The Department of Defense and CIA, in statements to the BBC, say that the report contains serious inaccuracies and erroneous conclusions. A spokesman for the Defense Department said in an email, Task Force Guantanamo routinely provides comprehensive and humane medical care to the detainees at Guantanamo. They are consummate professionals working under incredibly stressful conditions.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.